Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
We're going to play a clip, John, from John Gandola, former FBI agent. But before we do, I want to make an announcement. And that is that tomorrow and Saturday, Geauga County Right to Life is having a garage sale to raise money to save little innocent little babies that we continue to fight for all these years. And that'll be held at the Pavilion. That's the Pavilion. And the address is 9658 Fairmont Road in Novelty, Ohio, 44072. Now, this is on Fairmont Road in Novelty, which is Russell, and it's just 1/4 mile west of Sperry Road on Fairmont. And it's at the Pavilion. It's called the Pavilion. And so that's tomorrow from 9 to 5 and Saturday from 9 to 5. Now, if you have some good things, you know, some merchandise there that's in good shape and you want to get rid of it, you know, bring it out because, you know, we want to raise money. And, you know, if you want to donate it to help us raise money to save babies, bring it on out. If not, come on out anyhow because other people are bringing the good.
We've got a great selection of clothing, too.
Yeah.
We have really good
selection. We really do. We have a good selection of clothing. And so, anyhow, bring it on out tomorrow. Help us save babies. Now, we're going to John McTernan. We're going to play this clip. You listen carefully because I know you're going to have a lot of commentary, and this is John Gandola. We're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday, 20 minutes into the clip. Go ahead and take her away.
Your National Guard vehicles with National Guard troops are there. They say, yeah, no, nobody gets off this plane. You take that crap, you take right back off, you go land in someone else's state. And if you land here again, we're going to have legal issues with you. I'm going to take whoever's in charge of this thing into custody. How's that? Does he have the authority to do it? You're damn right he does. Because they don't meet, first of all, the legal definition of a refugee, number one. Number two, they're being brought in. The FBI is telling them they're vetted. How are you vetting them? How are you vetting people that don't know their own birthdays? I can tell you from being over there, most people who grew up in Afghanistan, they don't know their own birthday. You want to know why most of their birthdates are January 1st of some year? Because nobody knows, because nobody cares. And you're going to vet them how? What system in Afghanistan do they have to vet their people? None. We can't even keep Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, ISIS, and Hamas guys out of the U.S. government. And you're going to tell me you're going to vet somebody living in a village in Afghanistan, doesn't know their... I mean, give me a break. So there are legal ways, but what it requires is knowledge and courage. And I haven't seen one governor yet do anything like this, not one. These are things that need to be done at the local and state level that can be done. And all it requires are citizens to put the branding iron to the backside of these governors and county officials, proverbially speaking, of course. So I believe the reason the FBI has taken so long to respond to what they consider the threat from Mr. Trump is more about the greater movement, the hostile movement inside the United States, than it is about just the timing of an investigation. It is true that these kind of investigations take time. But I would say we know all kinds of information about the communist movement in the United States. We know that we've got at least 70 members of Congress that we can easily identify as part of the communist movement. 70. You've got 23 former senators and congressmen, and that's at the low end, that are literally working with, being paid by companies directly working for Chinese military and Chinese intelligence. You have Mr. Biden and his son himself engaged in at least $30 to $40 million worth of business dealings with the leader of the state security apparatus in China. This is treason on both sides of the political aisle. This is the hostile movement I'm talking about. So when they begin doing these things, in all deference to some of my colleagues who have called it a banana republic and things like that, this is not. This is tyranny. These are Stalinist tactics that are used in tyrannies. And that's where we are. And so they just feel we can get away with this now and let's see what happens. Oh, nothing. Nothing from the American people. Nothing from the, quote, opposing political party. But there's a one-party system right now. We've seen that the fact that they just raided the home of a former president of the United States, it's not just a historic time. I don't think people are getting what keeps happening. And these things keep happening. They've been happening for 15 years, but now it's right in your face. The tyranny is real. Your data, not protected. It's not at all. You should assume if you transmit it, somebody has it. And I know a lot of people have started using other means to communicate, but if you transmit it, you cannot be 100% sure somebody's not going to see it or has the capacity to get their hands on it. And I certainly wouldn't trust Google, Facebook, Twitter, and other telecom companies with your information. There is a, what I think, certainly evidence on the table that Google is sharing information with communist China. You've got leaders of Facebook and Twitter going to Pakistan and sitting down with jihadi leaders, terrorists in our law, who say you can't allow anything on your platform if it offends Muslims. And instead of saying, hey, go screw yourself, you don't want to have Facebook in your country, don't have Facebook. But see, this is called free speech. If it offends you, tough crap. You don't have a right not to be offended. That's what free speech is all about. If a law gets broken, if there's a viable threat, that's a different story. But saying something that offends you, that just means you're too thin-skinned or you're not intellectually savvy enough to have a good discussion. Have a nice day. But that's not what they did. That's not what Zuckerberg did. What he said is, I'll take a knee for you, jihadi, and we'll bend to your will. You've literally, let me be clear here. We just saw it a few weeks ago in England. Somebody posts something on social media. It offended someone else. They got reported, and four police officers show up to that person's house and threaten to arrest them because they offended someone. This stuff is happening in the United States as well. And the FBI is a big part of this. And the Department of Justice, absent from the battle, meaning they're batting for the other side. So in response to Zuckerberg's comments to Joe Rogan about the FBI and their influence on Facebook, what we've seen on the other social media platforms, that is government overreach. That is government suppressing free speech. Now, I think Zuckerberg's a weasel for trying to blame what he did on the FBI, saying, well, they said it's a Russian information operation. That's not the purpose of free speech and free expression. Let it all hang out and let individual citizens decide what's a lie and what's the truth. That's the beauty of the West and the Western intellectual thought. Yeah, let people lie. Yeah, let people tell the truth. So this idea that the federal government in the form of the FBI is telling a massive social media outlet like Facebook to suppress the story because it's Russia collusion, or excuse me, Russia disinformation. It's again, tyranny. It's right there. It's just another example. If the FBI is falsifying FISA applications to electronically surveil the President of the United States, and they're calling up major social media companies, what are they doing that we don't know about? There's a lot of information out there that's muddied. When the government does something that's nefarious, often, in my experience, starts out as a good idea gone very awry. So if we look at the NSA program to capture phone calls, that blew up both under Bush and then kind of drifted into Obama under Mr. Holder. And that program worked. The program to intercept, and it was based on known foreign hostile numbers. I'm going to say it this way because I got to be careful here. There was a matrix, whereas collection was then done, right? And key numbers that we knew were like Al-Qaeda safe houses or a leader of this group or people that were spies from Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, bad guys. And boom, that would immediately 100% we'd be listening to that, as we should. And if that guy happened to call a U.S. citizen, you're damn right we're going to listen to that. And I'd like to know, why is a guy overseas at this number that we know is an Al-Qaeda guy calling you? That is at least reasonable suspicion to at least capture the call. And I will tell you, I have personal knowledge of a case where that worked. And not just one. This was something that I had direct impact on. So I saw it work. And yet I'd run into people at, you know, parties or social events or places I was speaking. They'd be like, I don't want the government listening to me. And I'm like, the government doesn't care about you and talking to your kids. That's not how it works. There was a system set about what would get intercepted that was reasonable. Where the program got into trouble was what's supposed to happen is a human is supposed to listen to those calls. As soon as you realize there's nothing here, call gets deleted and you're no longer in the system. By the time it got to kind of Eric Holder, the attorney general at the time, he's like, we've got all these calls that nobody's gone through. That's the problem. You can't just hold someone's transmission. If you got to determine it's either hostile, then why aren't we opening a case? Or no, there was nothing here. Then delete it and move on, right? I mean, I'm simplifying it, but that's essentially it. So regarding the shootings in Las Vegas during the country music concert. We reported on that before anyone else, that was likely a jihadi attack. We briefed quietly a couple people, members of Congress and others. And I would say to this day, there is not an understanding. When you look at what actually transpired, put it together from a counterintelligence, espionage, and a counterterrorism look, the probability that was an ISIS attack is well over 90%. When presented with the information, the SAC of the Las Vegas field office got angry and dismissed it. When presented with the information, FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. dismissed it out of hand. I have a quote from an FBI agent. He said the FBI, both in Washington, L.A., and Las Vegas that participated in that investigation, can't even begin to think of it as a jihadi attack because, number one, they still don't understand what that actually means. They don't understand what actually happened, and they have no desire to understand what happens. So their knee-jerk reaction in these cases is always to dismiss that and point in a different direction because they've been conditioned to do so. I mean, it only points to an ISIS attack. It does not point anywhere else. ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack 5 times. They said that guy, he's our guy, and we hail him. He is a martyr. But it's more than that. I mean, there's one of the key guys that was a part of that who claimed to be he's a gay Australian guy. And we said, well, here's where this guy is. He lied as to his whereabouts. And when he said he was here, he was actually at a hotel in Las Vegas. And the only other people staying in the hotel are people from an area of Mexico where there's high ISIS activity. That's not definitive. That's just one data point. But then he went to New Mexico, and his phone pings in a cafe owned by a Turkish guy tied to ISIS. And then he goes overseas. Who flies from the United States to Australia and stays for 2 days and comes back with potential ties to Australia and Antifa? And then he goes to Germany. Right now, there's no other option on the table. All the evidence points to that. That's all we're saying. We're saying the fact the FBI hasn't investigated it is unprofessional and criminally negligent. That is a great question. Why has the FBI not done anything about Antifa and literally has said they're not really an organization? Like, really, they're not an organization. Well, they have organizational meetings. They literally have meetings with BLM and jihadis. They meet and they plan and they organize and then they act on those meetings. So I'm not sure what you're talking about. But the question, why doesn't the current administration, specifically FBI, why aren't they recognizing that? Well, I go back to say because I think this current administration is batting for the adversaries of America. That's why. I think your question is logical in the sense that I would expect anyone to ask it as a reasonable question, but it's illogical if you understand that this administration is hostile. And whether it's the Director Ray is just stepping in line or he's too ignorant or dumb, but let me make this point because I haven't said this. I think it's something we briefed back in 2006 and 7. When someone swears an oath to the Constitution to protect and defend against all enemies, that's a legal standard. And so you have to either know all enemies or do a due diligence to know all enemies. If you don't, and it's easy to know that Antifa is a real organization, that they might operate differently than you understand because you don't understand asymmetric warfare or regular warfare, that's your fault and you're unprofessional. When Americans are dead because you're unprofessional, legally that's called criminal negligence. And we put doctors and lawyers in jail. And I think we should put people like Christopher Wray and Eric Holder and many others in jail for criminal negligence. And they are criminally negligent at a minimum. I'll leave it to my colleagues who are constitutional law attorneys, whether it's treason and sedition, but it's certainly criminally negligent. Why do communists and jihadis work together, and what does that network look like? Within a couple years of 9/11, you started seeing anti-war protests in Washington, D.C. and all over the country, but we see communist groups like ANSWER, Act Now, Stop War, and Racism, Code Pink and others doing joint anti-war protests with Muslim Brotherhood groups like the Islamic Society of North America and their subsidiaries, Hamas doing business as the Council of American Islamic Relations. That raised the flag because we knew about, at that point, the Islamic network in the United States. But we saw them working with communists. The jihadi movement in the United States really started developing in the 1960s and exploded in the 1980s, but took a seismic shot in space in the early 1990s. Well, we can watch how they, their touch points, but then they start working directly with the communists to today. We have almost 2 years ago, communist China enters in a formal strategic partnership with the Islamic Republic of Iran, the largest state sponsor of terrorism. Black Lives Matter was formed out of the largest Chinese communist organization in the United States. So they were never a civil rights organization. They were never about equal rights. They were always about communism. They were always about enslaving people. They were always about destroying the United States. That's not up for debate. If someone says, well, I disagree, well, you're wrong. And you can never be right, because that's who they have always been. And as a matter of fact, BLM and their associates are working with Chinese Communist Party officials in the United States at the consulates and then down at the local level. We see these groups, communists and jihadis, literally working seamlessly in local communities where you have all these Muslim Brotherhood Hamas groups working with Antifa, communist, Black Lives Matter, communist, Democratic Socialists of America, communist, Communist Party USA, Code Pink, ANSWER, and all the others. Yeah. I say the same thing I've written about almost every year since 9/11, is that number one, the network of jihadis that support attacks in the United States has been untouched since 9/11. And that network is made up of all the prominent Islamic organizations in the United States. And we have to stop being afraid to say that. And that's not my opinion. That's a matter of fact. Those facts are in evidence in the largest terrorism financing trial in American history. the Holy Land Foundation trial for relief and development, adjudicated 2008 in Dallas, Texas. And the fact is, the biggest Islamic organizations in the United States are controlled by either mostly the Muslim Brotherhood, but also Iranian groups, Hezbollah groups, and others. And the leaders of those groups are exclusively the people advising your U.S. government, State Department, Treasury, National Security Staffs, President, Vice President, etc., through multiple administrations. That is the problem. Those people have to account for 9/11. To the deeper question of, was 9/11 an inside job? I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, it was a missile that hit the Pentagon and there was explosives in the towers. And I'm like, you know what? You're full of crap. Because I was in the inner rings of the Pentagon where the fuselage of the freaking airplane was. And guess what? People had seats on an airplane and we knew their names because we knew their tickets. And they're nowhere to be found except their remains were found in the Pentagon. So you are a jackass and you're dangerous because you're inserting things that aren't true. So I understand people that don't trust the federal government. That's pretty much been our discussion because there are nefarious people and there are people who are grossly unprofessional. But we did know something was coming and it was briefed to the President of the United States and people were scrambling to figure out what it was. And we had cable memos going from FBI field office, by the way, that field office right here in Phoenix, Ken Williams, sending those messages. Hey, by the way, they're learning to fly planes and not land. We know they're doing something. And it was too little, too late. There were people out there like, okay, who are bad guys? What's going on? What's the point? Who was helping these people? Oh, the Islamic Center of San Diego, a Muslim Brotherhood mosque. Who helped the jihadi who killed four Marines and a Navy sailor in Chattanooga? The Muslim Brotherhood's Islamic Society of Chattanooga. Who helped the Boston Marathon bombers? The Islamic Society of Boston, founded by an Al-Qaeda guy, owned by the Muslim Brotherhood here in the United States. And what's happened to those? Nothing. Nothing in 21 years. That is criminal negligence. And I believe every police chief and every state investigative agency and every local FBI office that hadn't done anything, they should be arrested. They're the problem because they have left this network untouched. For those of you who still think 9/11 is a inside job, you know what? I probably should hold my tongue because nothing I want to say right now is good, but you're wrong. Let me just say that. 9/11 wasn't an inside job because if you look at what we were doing leading up to 9/11, we knew something was coming. We had some ideas, but we didn't have any specifics. Reason was because we didn't realize that the Muslims advising our federal government are batting the other team. Just like how the Japanese were in there talking to us when they knew planes were in the air headed to Pearl Harbor, right? That's the level of deception. Name me one Islamic advisor at the national level right now who's not hostile. We've looked. We can't find it. By name, we'll give them to you. I am not afraid of speaking out, and I'm not afraid of the repercussions of speaking out. I've had the repercussions speaking out. You know, I've been shot at, blown up in combat, been shot at as an FBI agent. I've had jihadis threaten me. I've had commies threaten me, threaten to come to my house and kill me. I've had cases investigated by the FBI, real no BS jihadis who threatened and were taking actions to come after me. I think to cower in the face of these adversaries means I then participate in the destruction of the Republic and I just won't do it no matter what the cost. And there is a cost. I was audited several years in a row by the IRS. I've mentioned some of the things lately. I was on a TSA watch list recently for 18 months. But it's not about me. I mean, I just don't believe that you should ever cower. These people are evil. And what we stand for in America is good and it's right and it's just. And remember, our founders, for the first time in world history, created something that never existed before and built on those founding principles, law, nature's God. With the social compact that we will allow you to rule over so long as you rule justly, and you can legislate laws so long as they don't violate the founding, that produces liberty, and liberty produces creativity, and the creativity of us Americans creating the car, and the plane, and the microchip, and rock and roll, for God's sakes. And then that creates prosperity, and this has been the richest nation in the history of the world. And by the way, the most generous nation that is the beacon for the entire world, because at the center is that God is the author of all liberty and he is good and his heart is good. And when our laws and our culture are built on that, we produce good people and people who at least work and strive to be good. And how can that? How can that not be worth defending? Let me think about that. My message for young people is what do you want your life to be? What do you want? What do you want your life to reflect? And what's the value of your life? Is it just to go to school, get a good job, have a family and die? I mean, what is it? What is it? And I would say what this world needs are men and women whose hearts have come alive. And so find out what is it that makes your heart come alive and go do that. Because if that's what you're doing and it's good and it's of service to others and you find joy in it, man, as some people have said, you'll never work a day in your life. I think being of service to the community and the service to this nation, I think anytime you do that, then that's the greatest message I can give is how can what we've talked about here today, what America is supposed to be, not what it is right now, what those ideals are. There is no greater joy than fighting for that. The worst they can do is take your life. And if you're so afraid of dying, then you're not ready to live. I think you've got to get rid of that fear and just live and speak truth and learn how to communicate the truth in a loving, meaningful way. And you will watch the power of that within your circle of friends and in your community. And literally, it can change the entire nation. I mean, think about it. If just 20 young people in a community did that, now multiply that by 1,000 or more. I think there's nothing that can't be brought about by speaking truth boldly in love like that. I think people hear this discussion and might feel very depressed, like, holy cow, this is much worse than I thought. And I would say there's great hope, because the great hope is in the American spirit, which is the American people. But that cannot be decoupled from our founding principles, the law of nature and the law of nature's God. God's will is he expresses himself in creation and Holy Scripture. You just simply cannot decouple those two things. So long as we return to those founding principles and reestablish the founding principles at the local level and build out from there, I think there's great hope to reestablish the republic. It's going to be a job, but it can't be done separately without the power and the love of God at the center of all that.
Alrighty, we are back. And, well, boy, I'm going to tell you. You know, I wanted to say this, too. One thing about 9-11, I remember on 9-10, the day before 9-11, I was watching C-SPAN in the morning, and Bob Dole, former senator, and Gary Hart, former senator, were on C-SPAN, and they were talking about that. They suspect that, but it was almost eerie the way the program went, that they were going to use the Muslims would attack America and use commercial airlines to attack our buildings, and that was the day before 9/11. And I'm watching this and I'm saying something is not right about this, the way they're doing this. It's almost like they were sending a message out there in a way, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but boy, I did the next day. What do you think about that, John McTernan?
Well, Pastor Ernie, my head is spinning listening to. He's a retired
former FBI agent. Yeah, he was one of the one of the big shots there at the FBI. I'm trying to think of the agent with the names of the heads that they have, the position he held.
Well, you like the agent in charge?
Yeah, well, I like the agent in charge, yeah, but I know that they have different names for him, so departmental head or something like this, but anyhow.
Pastor Ernie, everything that is bad, there has to be a coordinated effort within the federal government against the American people. There has to, and it seems to go through each one of the presidencies. I mean, everything that's he was talking about things about the what happened in Las Vegas, that mass murder, the mass killings. And so many other things he spoke about. And then we see Black Lives Matter running wild, Antifa running wild. We see criminal district attorneys. They're actually criminals letting the criminals go free, not prosecuting them and going after January 6th people like this.
We see a war on pro-lifers there.
War on pro-lifers now. I mean, this here, this is massive in the government, Best Ernie.
When you were an agent, John, and you would go to work, and you'd walk in your building, and there would be other agents there, if you suspected that some of those other agents were on the other side, they were dirty cops, there would be like this atmosphere in the air, like a chill in the air. Do you suppose that's kind of what's happening now at a lot of these FBI headquarters?
It must be, Pastor Ernie, getting down to a lower level now, because like I said, I think they're purging out. And anyone that retires, the people that replace them are going to fit the Comey mold that's the FBI is under now.
Okay, what do you think's going to happen? Look, come November, we're 40 days away. The left cannot afford to have a fair and honest election. They can't do that. They know that. They're so corrupt. They know if there's a fair and honest election. And all those in the fake news media know that. People say, even Democrats, listen, even the Democrats don't like the high gas prices. They don't like the high food prices, okay? They don't like, and they're worried too. If they could do this to the Christians, they can do it to me too, can't they? So even the Democrats now are starting to get worried. And it looks like just in the latest poll that they've seen over a million former Democrats have switched just this year. They've changed their party. And that's a low number. That's a low number. So what do you think? Because they have to do something. These people, Merrick Garland and these people in the FBI, these people in the so-called Justice Department, they've committed huge crimes. Huge crimes, okay? And they know that. They're up to their eyeballs in criminal activity with Hillary Clinton and that. So what is it you think that they're going to try to do to stop the election? Or, well, what do you think they're up to?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I came across a very, very significant article coming out about Bill Gates. And we know how Bill Gates and his ilk were really prophesying, I'm going to say, about COVID-19. They were talking about some virus would come and it'd be a pandemic and this, that, and the other thing. And remember, Pastor Ernie, right up like in October, they had a meeting at Johns Hopkins University, Bill Gates and his group, and they were wargaming like the pandemic that started the next month or 2 months later. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So Bill Gates is an insider to some degree in what the big plans are of the New World Order. So here's what I just picked up. Here's the headline from Red State. Bill Gates makes concerning statement about the election and civil war. And it's I'll just get down to the meat of it. Bill Gates is still worried about domestic polarization in the U.S., which he sees little hope for in the short term. Quote from Bill Gates, I admit that political polarization may bring it all to an end. He's talking about, you know, America. We're going to have a hung election and a civil war, he said. I have no expertise in that, and I'm not going to divert my money to that because I wouldn't know how to spend it. So even he says this election and there's a civil war coming. So I think what the Civil War is going to be is that the election is going to overwhelmingly defeat the Democrats, that they can't even cheat their way out of it. They're limited in the amount of cheating they can do, Pastor Ernie. It's not completely open-ended. They're limited. So if they're defeated and put out of office, come January, I think it's January 2nd, is when the new government is sworn. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a uprising by the establishment in there, who we're just talking about, to block the seating of the new government, in effect, have a coup. And Biden will say that it's a right wing that stole the election. They're going to do this to save democracy, that America is in deep trouble, and this terrorist, white nationalist terrorists are taking over America. No one's safe in it now. All the minorities are in danger. I think, Pastor Ernie, this might be based on what Gates is saying, this might be a viable. They're so desperate now, and they're so criminal, they're so corrupt, they hate America, they want to destroy it, that this might be a viable way to look at it.
It is, but now that brings up another question, that is this, okay, what about the military? The military have a job to do, okay? They have the oath they took to the Constitution, and within the military, when you have people that give unlawful orders, there comes a point where those people have to be removed, okay? It goes back down to the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. Are we going to see something, some action in the military?
Well, that's the big question. And the way I look at it is the top echelon of the military is rotten to the core. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff in there. But I think you come down to a certain level where I just feel the vast majority are not going to go along with it, Pastor Ernie.
Already.
I think the military will. Now, there's going to be. And plus, you got the National Guard. You know, we have a lot of National Guards that aren't going to put up with that. A lot of governors, states. So I don't think they got a strong hand in this. They have to turn the population their way. Something has to happen where these criminals in Washington can turn the vast amount of the population and maybe the military and that on their side.
Okay, you didn't hear the part of this where he was talking about earlier that he said, I have a message for the sheriffs. You, sheriff, have a duty to the people. You are the authority. And if they send these agents in to somebody's house to harass them, like they're doing with the pro-lifers, when they go in and stick guns in the faces of little children, then you need to be out there. You sheriffs need to be out there with 30, 40 deputies and about 100 civilian militia to back you up. And they have to know that you'll do that. Now, I spoke a couple years ago, as you know, over at Liberty University to 250 sheriffs. And everyone that I had spoke to out there were telling me that they would do that. Some of them outright told me that when the FBI that would come into their county, they would have to check into their offices, okay, because of things like what happened at Ruby Ridge, things that what happened at Waco and others, and let them know that they're there. And they said most of the time they gladly did it. They wanted to have the sheriff's department if they were up to something legitimate, okay, the sheriff's department to back them up if they were up to something legitimate, okay. So anyhow, I think a lot of the sheriffs are waking up. What do you think?
I hope so, Pastor Ernie. I hope in this coming election that really good. I mean, it's a big move. Not only we'll say in the Senate and the House, which is wonderful, but on the lower level, you know, state governments, sheriff's office. I hope that surge. To get out Biden and his element there. I hope that carries over to all levels and many, many, many more real godly constitutionalist sheriffs are voted in.
Now, you know that Obama is running Biden. When Obama had come out and said if he had his way, he would be in a basement someplace and he would have a president, a puppet out there with microphones in his ears, listening to and doing, and he would be giving him orders from the basement. That's kind of exactly what's happening. When Obama talked about his civilian army, the weaponized, that were more powerful than the military. He was talking about 87,000 IRS agents, wasn't he, armed?
That's right.
Well, yes. Pastor Ernie, I think that's part of it. But do you think it's possible with all these illegal aliens coming in and so many of them are single young males that they could be recruited, Pastor Ernie?
Oh, absolutely. I've been telling people that they're setting up sleeper cells ever since Obama, from the day one, when Obama was in office, they were bringing in Muslims and jihadists. But ever since the very first day of Obama, we've seen them bringing in Biden sneaking them in the middle of the night. But what's even worse is what's happening to the children. They're providing children. Look, if I'm a prison guard and you're an inmate, and I tell you, look, I'll leave a door unlocked for you, but I expect something in return, that means that I'm in cahoots. I'm a part of you. Biden has told the drug cartels and the human smugglers, I'll keep the doors open for you. But, you know, we expect something in return. And a lot of that's going to be loyalty, the jihadist movement. Once we take over and we destroy the country, we set up a criminal. Because the entire Democratic Communist Party is going totally criminal. These so-called prosecutors that he is putting in, these people are more criminal than anybody that they prosecute. You know it and I know it. God has said that they have gone a-whoring. God calls it going a-whoring. And that's exactly what they become. They become whores, okay? And if God calls you a whore, you're a whore, okay? And so that is what's taking place, and they're breaking the law, they're committing high treason, just like this 83-year-old woman we just read about here was shot by a Democrat. She was shot by a Democrat, and guess what? Not even a charge brought, okay? That nutcase that ran that 18-year-old boy down and murdered him, killed him, he was out of jail within an hour, okay? They don't even prosecute. As long as it's a Christian or a patriot that is attacked, they won't even, these completely and totally George Soros bought and paid for whores will not prosecute them.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, what about all these pro-life centers that have been firebombed and destroyed and threats against the people working there and all? I don't think there's been one arrest throughout the entire country.
No, there hasn't, and I can tell you this, Joe Obama's 87,000 armed IRS agents, they're looking to eliminate all small businesses. They're going to go after the small businesses and churches. They're going to go after actual Christian churches, not the apostates, because the apostates are, you know, they're part of them, but they will go after Christian churches. You know what, and you and the apostate church out there, I've read the entire Bible. I know how it ends. And you're in trouble, and you need to repent or burn. There you go. What do you think of that? Okay.
I think you're right on.
All righty. I've got a quick article here. Randy's got an article. He's been chewing it to bit. But here you go.
Well, actually, this one takes us back a little bit to Hillary Clinton.
Well, you go ahead first.
Okay.
Go on.
Okay. Court orders the corrupt FBI to produce the information that it possesses on Seth Rich's laptop within 14 days. And remember, he was a young man that happened back in 2016 that he was shot in the back twice, and he was part of the Democratic National Convention. Well, earlier today, which is September 29th, the U.S. District Judge for the Eastern District of Texas ordered the FBI, the corrupt FBI, to produce the information it possesses to Seth Rich's laptop. And to this day, we still don't have...
They were under orders of Hillary. Do not bring that information out.
That is correct. And it says, and basically it says, to this day, we still don't have good information on Seth Rich's murder. He was shot in the back twice early in the morning near his home. He later died in the hospital. The police recorded the event as a robbery, yet Rich's phone, wallet, personal items were with him when the police arrived. So some people suspect that Rich was the source of the emails that went to WikiLeaks before the 2016 election related to Hillary and her corrupt actions over many years. These emails were ignored by the corrupt mainstream media, but were shared by WikiLeaks and on social media at that time.
All right, very good. There you go. The very, very corrupt Merrick Garland urged to resign for weaponizing government against parents. U.S. Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican from Missouri, has called on Democrat Joe Biden's Attorney General, the very, very corrupt Merrick Garland, to resign in a Senate hearing where he delivered a barrage of evidence about Garland's agenda against America's parents. You have weaponized the federal government against these parents who appear at school board meetings to protest leftist, transgender, and extreme climate change ideologies, Hawley charged. Hawley cited Garland's own memo that appears to threaten parents, telling persecutors to watch out for anyone who may be in opposition to the communist agendas in many school districts if they say one word out of line. So the World News Daily has reported that the federal government did, in fact, open multiple investigations into parents. It was a report in the Washington Examiner that revealed those investigations sometimes involved no more than parents who had raised various concerns about masks. See, this is a police state. This is a police state. The leftist propaganda of critical race theory, the transgender ideologies being promoted, and other issues. The critical race theory teaches that America, at its foundation, was racist. And the only way to counter this is to adopt more racist policies today. So the background is the Obama Biden's education secretary, Miguel Cardona. Last year, the National School Board Association to send a letter to Garland insisting on investigation parents that Cardona disliked. So there you go. I'm just going to drop it right there. That pretty much gets the message out. So, little Lisa's been waiting. She's waiting.
It says here, Democrat election worker charged with two felonies over alleged extremely egregious voting equipment tampering. Goes on to say, Kent County Prosecutor Chris Becker announced Wednesday that he has charged Democrat James Donald Holkbauer with falsifying election results and using a computer to commit a crime in the incident. Reuters reported, if convicted of the charges, he could face up to 9 years in prison. The incident took place in Gaines Township, a suburb of Grand Rapids in the western part of the state. Kent County Clerk calls it extremely egregious and incredibly alarming. Not only is it a violation of Michigan law, but it is a violation of public trust and of the oath of all election workers are required to take, she said in a statement. A witness saw the election worker put a USB drive into the electronic poll book, which contains confidential voter registration data, she said.
How much time do I have over there, Annette? A lot of times. I got to... Okay. Well, a lot. All right, now, okay, we're going to do two fast lightning round calls, and that's it. Okay, let's go to our co-host Clifford. He's been hanging in. Cliff, you're in the air.
I don't want one thing. I'm suspicious is when the when Planned Parenthood is getting $500 million, and the FBI is defending Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, I'm a little suspicious that some of that money's going to the FBI. Also, on LifeSiteNews.com, there's a very interesting post of an interview today with Robert Malone. A must-listen. Among other things, he says that Fauci has a team of about 60 people just to deal with the press and spin things, according to Fauci. So you have to listen to that. And also they have an interview from a day ago with Kyrie Irving, the basketball player that was persecuted for not taking the shot. Still scored 60 points and three quarters in his limited game appearances with the Nets. And some guy, Daniel O'Connor, who has a lot to say on the Satanism going on and how they're even using this idea of aliens. So I would recommend that stuff.
All righty. I'm going to have to move on because we're running short on time, but thanks for calling, Cliff. We go to Ed, lightning round. Ed in Cleveland.
Yeah, a brief question, Pastor Ernie. I'm somewhat aware of the government assassination of Bill Cooper, that the author of the book, Behold the Pale Horse.
I knew, Red.
Yeah, and David Koresh. But I'm not really sure what happened with Ted Gunderson, and I know you were speaking about it.
He was poisoned, and he told me that they were going to try to kill him. And they used a woman to do it. Someone he trusted.
Well, I would say I was familiar with some of his, you know, the information that he put out and his honesty, because he basically said prior to the Oklahoma City bombing, he wasn't a Christian and he was learning a lot of things, but it seems like he had a good heart.
Well, he came up here, we spent some time and we discussed the Bible, him and I. And, yeah, he came up here and spent time with us and we went through a lot of things and we discussed the Bible. You know, Ted actually worked in the office with Jay, what's his name, Hubert, the FBI chief. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So he worked actually in the very same office with him.
Yeah. Like I said, my impression that he broke ranks and he told it like he thought it was, and I respect people like that.
Well, he did. And he, you know, he told us what was happening. He was chasing down because of the pedophilia, the human trafficking with children. These children were disappearing, and the fake news media is, you know, if they get the word, you know, play it down, downplay it, they'll do it, okay? And because, you know, it's run by Satanists. I mean, we're living in those times. It's a lot worse than people realize.
And that's a key thing, because he did, I had one of his videos, and he spoke a lot about Satanism and the government and all that stuff.
Yeah, he did. I got to move on, but thanks, Ed. All right, Randy, how much time do I have now? Okay, Randy, you've got about 4 minutes.
All right, I'll be real quick with that. As we all know, in life, the best thing to do is to begin with the end in mind. And we all know on this program that the end in mind is salvation. Salvation comes only from the Lord. And tonight I'd like to kind of put a little bit of a twist on it. Everybody sinned. We all know that we have offended God at some point in time in our life, and it only takes one time to be eternally separated from God. We're born with that in our nature. We all accomplish that during the course of our life. And the only way out of that is through the way that God has provided. And one of the things the only thing he's provided is the life, death, burial, and resurrection, the substitutionary death of Christ for us, because the wages of our offense to God is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I want to point out something that I think nobody ever really talks about, and that's kind of like what happens in death. In Mark, it talks about it's better to enter the afterlife maimed, like, you know, with one eye, with one hand, et cetera, and so forth. And this is in Mark, and this would be in chapter 9, the verses in the 40s. But the one thing it talks about is being salted with fire. And I don't know if anybody's ever thought about it, but you ever think about the fact that, like, in Revelation, it mentions that the righteous will be in robes that are dyed, gowns that dyed in the blood of Christ. But it talks about the damned being salted with fire, which makes me wonder. It says, and where the worm dieth not, which means you may well be naked throughout eternity, salted with fire, because there's no reason to wear a gown if you're going to be salted with fire and to have the worm. And I think the biggest incentive in becoming and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord is that you avert going to hell. And that's the main thing. And God's provided a way with the life of Christ. And all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is and was God in the flesh, that he paid the penalty for your death on the cross at Calvary, and that God approved of his death by raising him up on the third day. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he says you shall be saved, not that you might be, but that you shall be. So I urge you right now to confess that I believe that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my death, and that he is God in the flesh, that God raised him from the dead, and that I am now right with God because I have this acceptance in Christ by God. And it is that simple. And you just, you believe, but Jesus Christ did the work. It's that simple to be saved.
All right, there you go, folks. You know, you want to do it. Just think about that, the horrors of spending all of eternity in hell with a bunch of naked Democrats.
Sin is a burning thing. It has a deadly sting. Pleasure is a burning desire, but it will take you to the lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher, and you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Christ is a saving king. He'll keep you from death stings. Sin is a burning desire. Fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire.
Okay, what do you think of that, McTurnan?
Are we still on the air?
Yeah, we're still on the air, but not for long.
I think that that's pretty effective for everything we said tonight.
Well, you're not kidding. Can you think of, just think of the horrors of spending all of eternity again in hell with a bunch of naked Democrats. We're out of time for tonight. So until tomorrow, we got to say good night. God bless. And always, always, let's do it.
Keep fighting the fire.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.